Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Man City show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Don't you panic. There may not have been sport on your screens on the weekend, but Love Sport still have you covered, and we've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. I'm joined, as always, by the magical Nigel Rothband from the Man City Show podcast. Only this evening, Nigel has decided not to bless me with his colourful and curious dress sense, but he's gone into self-isolation from me and me only. He said the only threat was spending an hour with me, and who can blame him? We have a packed show for you tonight. Not only will me and Nigel be talking about the effects of coronavirus from a footballing and Man City perspective, but how will the league and the Champions League potentially be sorted? But then a man who really is in the know, legendary broadcaster John Stapleton, will be joining us at 9:15. And if that wasn't enough, we've decided to be like City and dominate by getting another first-class guest in former City and England player Peter Barnes joining us at 5:30. Why go anywhere else this evening? Join us tonight by tweeting at Love Sport Radio or calling 0208 7020 558. Well, let's bring in a man now who I know will be chomping a bit to have his say. He's already WhatsApped me into the show saying, "Are you calling me yet?" Yes, Nigel, we are calling you because you're here as our co-host for the next hour. A turbulent and unusual week. Nigel, what are your thoughts on it all?
Well, it's unprecedented, isn't it, Charlie? I mean, everyone I think would accept that keeping people safe, supporting each other and caring for the most vulnerable is clearly the most important thing. You know, football pales into insignificance. It's pretty irrelevant, isn't it, when it compares to like the current crisis that we're going through. And I think that's something we have to start talking about and recognise. I don't think any of us have ever seen anything like this in our history. So it really is frightening, and there are many people who are vulnerable, and you see some of the panic buying going on and the behaviour of some people. We've just got to be kind and make sure that we follow the advice that the government and the scientists are giving us. And as I say, the rest kind of does pale into significance. I know this is the Manchester City fan show. We're going to talk about football because I don't think we should not stop talking about football and City, because that's what this is about, and try and have a bit of light relief along the way. But it's a very, very serious situation, and I'm really not sure how or when it's going to end. And as you said at the start, the implications for football across the world is significant. And yeah, how are things going to end up? It's very, very difficult to know.
I think there are a lot of worrying things about obviously COVID-19, the coronavirus, but one of the worrying things obviously and the concerning factors, Nigel, is because we don't know, it's changing by the hour, it's changing by the day, and we know there are big meetings in just in terms of sport and the Premier League this week, but no one really knows what's next, and that's how we can't even really talk about sport in that regard.
And that's right. And I think lots of people have got lots of opinions about how the league should be finished and who should be promoted and who should go through to Europe and who should be the Premier League champions. I just don't think we know, Charlie, do we? That's the thing. We just don't know how long this is going to go on for. And it does make life very, very difficult for so many people. And we'll have a go a little bit later. We've got, as you say, we've got John Stapleton coming on. I guess Peter Barnes, the ex-England international City player, I'm sure he'll have a view as well. But it's very, very difficult not knowing how long this whole thing is going to go on for. That's the issue. Of course, as you write, it's changing every day as well, isn't it?
It is, and that is the scary thing, Nigel. We just don't know where the peak of this virus will hit. And obviously, there are so many wide-ranging different opinions and calls, and I've been saying this tonight, and people really spit, and the beauty of a sports station like Love Sport, we're hearing all of those different opinions come into us tonight. Some want it concluded. Some want it resumed very quickly, even if it means games behind closed doors. And we're talking about fans being the lifeblood of the sport, you know, and wanting to attend. And then we're hearing some saying, nope, null and void, you know, the season should end and then we resume it brand new next year. Just on that then, Nigel, which camp are you in?
Well, I think what's important, Charlie, is the integrity of the league. That has to be protected. So for me to start sort of divvying up promotions and championships and relegations or otherwise without the league being or the leagues being concluded, I just don't think is an option. I think that compromises the integrity of the league, as I say. So I don't think that's an option. So that's my sort of starting point, if you like. You might argue, well, you would say that because City are 25 points behind Liverpool, and if City were in a different situation, would you have a different view? And I don't know if I would, because, as I said at the start, we don't know when this is going to end. We don't know how long this is going to go on for. And I think we almost have to wait to see what happens and let it run its course, and then we can make some more informed decisions. But I do have a problem with this. Well, let's take a view. Liverpool looks as though they're going to win it, so let's give it to them. You know, West Brom and Leeds, they're quite big clubs, aren't they? We'll let them come up. And then, and all these suggestions, I'm just not sure if that protects the integrity of the league. So I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that. I think there has to be a different solution.
Yeah, that integrity of the league feels a little bit misguided and misplaced at the minute, Nigel, because we're talking about, oh, maybe finishing the season, Liverpool being crowned champions, but then no relegation and West Brom and Leeds coming up. Well, what about Fulham and Brentford who are nearly there? What about those playoff places? What about how can we, you know, crown a champion, but no team gets relegated? You know, we have to be equal throughout, don't we?
I think so. And I think it was Mark Palios who I heard on another radio station talking about Tranmere Rovers, who have just bought a couple of players. And they have, I think, won two or three games on the trot and suddenly find themselves on a roll. And we know teams can come from nowhere and get into playoff positions or get promoted. And equally, other teams can drop like a stone. So there's teams that maybe sort of mid-table for a lot of the season suddenly go on a bad run and they can end up in a different position. So I just think it's very difficult to make that decision. And I would not be a fan. I think it sets a very dangerous precedent if we have a situation where we've got us sort of looking at sort of 74.8% way through the season or whatever it is and making decisions based on that. But I think I'm right in saying that during the war, albeit I think there were only 9 or 10 games played, the league was stopped and it became null and void. And I think we've got a similar situation here. I think it's very similar to that. So we do have a precedent. It was the Second World War. And in my view, we should be taking the same action, saying that actually that we can't complete the league. It's null and void. And we start again next season.
Yeah. And just maybe to counter that, Nigel, it's a really good point. A lot of people have said there's too much money involved. You know, it all boils down to money. It comes back to money. The clubs won't want to avoid this season. And not only that, you know, teams apparently have a legal thing that, you know, how come, you know, we're still in terms of the race, you know, it should be played on. We've made this start. It all gets a little bit legal and it gets a little bit messy. But no one really knows where this will end up. And that's why there is so much speculation at the minute. But in terms of La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, they acted quite quick. It was only last week how it really changed in rapid sense with Mikel Arteta, former City number 2, testing positive for the virus in what really deemed the Premier League saying no games for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I heard today that Mangala as well, a former City centre-back as well, he's also tested positive as well. So I think increasingly we've got lots of players, staff going down with the virus. And I don't, as I said at the start, Charlie, I don't think we can sort of make decisions now because we simply don't know when it's all going to be over. And there may be an opportunity to finish the league. Let's sort of go down that route for a second. So option number one is, based on timing and everything else and all the points I've made, that the league is null and void and we just sort of draw a line under it like we did in the Second World War. The other option is that, depending on timing, maybe we can pick it back up again and adjust the calendar slightly and finish off the 10 games or so that are left and recalibrate, if you like, the two seasons and maybe play a few more midweek games next season. I don't know, maybe, we don't know until we know when this is all going to be over. But that was an option, potentially, because it would be ideal to finish the season if we can. But if this goes on and on and on, it can't run into next season and not allow us to sort of start next season on time. It's a mess, and it's very difficult, and there's not an easy answer. Obviously, I think the Premier League meet this week, don't they? I think they're meeting on Thursday. I'm not quite sure what conclusions they can make, bearing in mind that we still don't quite know how this is going to go on for.
Yeah, and that is the main problem. Nigel, you go to home games. You've got your own podcast. You're involved in various number of shows talking about Man City. What is the general consensus for the fans that you talk to on a day-to-day basis and the fans you sit around with at home games? How do they feel about it? Games behind closed doors, no games? Because we know, even from that Man City perspective, Pep Guardiola says no game should be played behind closed doors.
And I agree with him, and I think most of the fans I talk to, that it just would be ridiculous if we had a situation where football is played behind closed doors. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It's a bit like I was at the theatre this week with my wife, and I just suddenly thought if there was nobody in this theatre, it just would be a nonsense. And it's their performance. It's the excitement and the passion. You get that from a 55,000 crowd, a 55,000 crowd. Mm. So I just can't see the games being played behind closed doors being an option, Charlie. I really can't. It kind of defeats the object.
Yeah.
Would you see that being a realistic option? Seriously?
I think that is maybe the solution the Premier League may go down. Listen, who knows? None of us are experts, and if we are, I'm lost on that scale. But I would say that they will try to conclude the season as best they can. You know, into the summer, we could even see potentially the Euros, that decision coming as quickly as tomorrow, that being postponed till 2021, which means football, the domestic league, could continue into that summer, maybe every Wednesday, Saturday, behind closed doors, just to get this season played, because I just can't see in no way, Nigel, this becoming null and void. And there is actually a vote on that Thursday meeting, the one that you spoke about there, and 14 clubs need to vote yes in terms of it being null and void. On that, could City be, a question back to you, one of those clubs that vote yes?
Yeah, I think they could be, couldn't they? I mean, who knows? We haven't got all the evidence in front of us. We've said that throughout this show so far, but I think potentially they could. But the Euros, going back to the Euros and that UEFA meeting tomorrow, there's no question that's not going to go ahead, is it? I mean, I'm sure that's a dead cert that will be postponed for, say, 12 months or so and be run the following year. It's a very, very difficult situation, and nobody really knows what the answer is, Charlie, I don't think.
And what we're hearing also tonight is you can't please everyone. You know, whatever decision they choose, we don't know. And because we don't know the peak, how long this will last, how can we say it's only suspended to April? We're even hearing that, just away from Man City for a quick second, you know, the Olympics are in danger, other sports are in danger. So how much can we eat into this? Even Wayne Rooney, hate to talk about him on this show, but mentioned that maybe we should play until, you know, the winter break, because the World Cup in Qatar will be around those winter months, and the next season shouldn't start until those winter months around the Christmas time at the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are five or six different potential options, aren't there? And as you've rightly said, until we really know how long this is going to continue for, it's difficult to actually agree on which one it might be. So I'm not sure how the Premier League clubs can actually vote on something when we don't have all the facts in front of us. I think it's an interesting thing to vote on when we don't really know when this is all going to end.
Yeah, well, me and you are not an expert, Nigel. You certainly more so than me. But a man who may be able to help us cut through all of this is legendary broadcaster John Stapleton, and he's joining us next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with my co-host Nigel Rothband from the Man City Show podcast. And you can still get in touch this evening. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, I'm delighted to say, always a packed show, the Man City Fan Show, but it gets even better now. We're always delivering because, once again, legendary broadcaster John Stapleton joins us on the line. John, it's great to get you back on the show. Really enjoyed our chats from before. It's a crazy time at the minute, John, not just in sport, but around the world with COVID-19. In your long and illustrious career, John, have you seen anything quite like this that's put a stop to the sporting world?
Never, ever. Never imagined anything like this could happen in my entire life. Born more than 70 years ago, as you probably know, Charlie, lived through not domestic wars, but foreign wars and conflicts abroad, and never known anything like this at all. Absolutely unimaginable. And, you know, the prospect for people of a certain age, including me, of spending weeks, if not months, confined to my house, more or less anyway, without any football, I don't wish to trivialise a very, very important and serious situation, but it's boring, to put it mildly. Boring.
Yeah, it is. It's so boring, John, honestly. And you touched upon it there, the words, obviously, saying we don't want to trivialise it, but this weekend certainly dragged. There's no really end in sight, John, not just from a virus perspective, but we don't know what the top decision makers in sport will do. What do you think they can do? What is the most logical solution here, John?
I think the only answer, to be quite honest with you, is to, whenever we are able to play football again in this country, is to conclude the present season. I've read about all sorts of different options and alternatives, which would be doable, but all of them would be unfair to somebody. You know, it would be unfair to say, right, freeze things as they are, you know, don't relegate anyone, bring two up from being, say West Brom up for, and Leeds up for, from the Championship, and don't relegate anyone, have an extended Premier League, etc., etc. But that would be unfair on the Fulhams and the Brentfords of this world, who are still in with a shout of getting promoted. And likewise, down the various tables it goes. So I think the only answer is to actually, once we can play football again, and I don't anticipate that happening, probably not before the end of July, once we can play football again, we conclude the present season and start the next season as and when we can, having suspended, obviously, as I'm sure we will, the Euros.
John, that's going to make life very difficult for next season, isn't it, of course? Are we really going to have time to, if that is the, and as you rightly say, we've no idea when this is all going to come to an end, but is that going to work if it does go on till July?
Well, it'll just have to work, or, you know, extend the next season into, you know, further than it would do normally. I mean, Nigel, can you imagine any? Can you come up with any other solution than the one I just advocated that would be fair to everyone? I mean, I think, you know, it's easy to say, oh, hand the title to Liverpool now, because, you know, let's face it, even City fans, well, at least this City fan would have to say they deserve it, you know. But, you know, the Karen Brady solution about just casting off this season and forgetting all about it, what a ridiculous suggestion that is from that woman. You know, good. And she would say that, wouldn't she? Because, of course, West Ham are one of those clubs who, unfortunately, face the prospect of going down. I feel sorry for West Ham fans. Great club, fantastic fans, lousy management. I don't mean David Moyes, I mean the ones above him.
But in terms of the Second World War, John, it's exactly what happened, isn't it? The war came, they played, all right, not quite as many games as we played now, and that was suspended, we drew a line under it, that league didn't happen,
yeah.
And we then got back after the war. So why
didn't
can't
make it
we
right
or
fair, though, did it? I mean, even I wasn't around for the end of the Second World War. I was born just after the end of the Second World War. But, you know, I'd forgotten that. You're absolutely right, Nigel. But I don't think it makes it fair. And particularly in the sort of increasingly competitive environment in which, you know, football is now played and the money involved. I mean, apart from anything else, if you actually froze this season or wrote off this season right now and said, oh, forget it, give Liverpool the title, everyone go home, you know, it would cost billions in... You know, the TV companies, you know, for example, want their money back. There'd be all sorts of potential litigation from clubs like Fulham and quite Brentford, who quite justifiably would say, you know, come on, we were still in with a shout. We're only X points behind Leeds and West Brom at the time. Why should we be penalised? The season wasn't over. You can't shift the goalposts halfway through the season.
I'm glad you mentioned the money, because one of the questions I've got is kind of the financially the small clubs, how some of them are going to survive in this situation.
I mean, I was born and bred in Oldham.
Really serious.
I was born and bred in Oldham, Nigel. You know, you and many other City fans will have read, you know, the trials and tribulations of that club and many others as well. It's dire. It was dire anyway. It's now even more so. And I really feel for clubs like that, because I was born actually almost overlooking the Boundary Park ground at Oldham. I was born at the local hospital there. And were it not for the fact that my grandfather and father were City fans, I probably would have supported Latics. You know, I feel so sorry for them because they're in so much trouble, and they're going to have to have some help. I've always advocated, I know it's not possible, I've always sort of thought in an ideal world, the Premier League clubs and some of the Premier League players who earn so much money, you know, there ought to be some system, some fund whereby they contribute to the likes of, well, Bury, it's too late for Bury now, but the likes of Bolton and Oldham and those clubs in the North West, and indeed all over the country, who are just going out. They're just going out of business. I can't see any hope for them, as indeed are many other people. I was talking to my local travel agent this afternoon. I've just come back from holiday. Lovely guy, great business. You know, won an award for his business. He's in big trouble. You know. Big trouble.
Yeah, a lot of those small businesses are. John, you mentioned about how some of those clubs who are lower down the football pyramid may be in trouble. And this has kind of rose a big question at the minute. You know, TV companies and the Premier League clubs, the elite, should they be doing anything in this mess? And of course, it's not their fault, but to help out potentially some of those clubs who are in desperate trouble.
Well, I think it'd be wonderful if they did. And, you know, there's a heck of a lot of money made out of football. You know, I've just spent a couple of weeks in Mexico, and like anywhere you go in the world these days, you can watch football anytime, anywhere. And I just raised the question of footballers' pay, but when we moan about how much footballers are paid, and you realise, of course, that their talent, their artistry is being exploited all over the world, you know, in country after country, almost 24 hours a day, you begin to understand why they're paid all that, Lou, because they are, you know, they are mega stars and they deserve some rewards. But having got those rewards, I feel it would be a lovely gesture if some of them at least, and some of those big clubs, and even, indeed the television companies, made some kind of contribution to the Oldhams and the Boltons of this world. Yes, I agree with you entirely.
John, just on another subject, as you probably know, we're very fortunate to have Peter Barnes joining us shortly, straight after you. And
Peter, good lad.
Yeah, I guess, if I've got my maths right, you probably saw his dad play as well, didn't you? Would you?
I saw his dad, best uncapped wing half in the country at the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Go on.
No, I was going to say, yeah, go on, tell us about Ken briefly then, first.
Well, Ken, I watched him as a kid at Main Road. He was a great player. Came from Stafford Rangers, if I remember rightly. Signed for about threepence halfpenny from Stafford Rangers, and a great stalwart of the City team of the 50s, late 50s and 60s. As I say, best uncapped wing half, as we used to call him in those days, in the country. I've seen him at social dues at Manchester City. He was a bit of a loose cannon, but always highly entertaining. And Peter, of course, you know, came through the ranks and obviously played for both City and United. And when I was on a program called Nationwide, which even you may remember, Nigel, because you're not that much younger than me. Let's face it. Peter was a bit of a sort of he was a bit of an iconic figure. Those long blonde locks, good looks, playing for England. You know, he was what's the phrase I'm looking for? Poster boy. That's it. He was a poster boy, and you know, in the sort of almost in the bracket of Georgie Best, and you know, much admired, girls loved him, fans loved him, very talented footballer, and a very nice guy. And I remember we invited him on Nationwide one day. I rang him up personally to say, well, you know, will he come and do us a turn? And, you know, I think it was long before the days of agents and involvement the way they are now. And he came along to the BBC studios in Manchester and did a down-the-line interview with me. I was in London on Nationwide. I know he was very nervous about it because he told me before. I told John, well, how will it be? And he was great. He was fantastic. And every time I meet him, and I see him a lot at City when I go to the Etihad, still the same, modest, lovely guy. And I think... I'm right in saying someone's writing a book about him now, and a biography of him, and well deserved, and probably should have been done a while ago.
And a fabulous left foot as well.
A fabulous left foot, yeah, and speed, and pace, and acceleration. I mean, he played for so many clubs, didn't he? After he left, he's all over the place. And I thought he was ludicrous that he was allowed to leave Manchester City. It was Malcolm, wasn't it? Who sold him? Malcolm Allison. He flogged him and Gary Owen, didn't he? Crazy. But there we go. A talented player and a man who's got every right to be proud of his history.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why we're delighted to get him on next to join us. But John,
we
certainly will. John, we give you our regards because it's genuinely a pleasure when we get the chance for you to come on a show and hear you speak. John Stapleton there, like I said, not a word that's maybe used too easy, but John Stapleton, a legendary broadcaster, the chance to speak to him, a great honour for me. But we are keeping with that tradition because Peter Barnes joins us next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with my co-host, my partner in crime, Nigel Rothband from the Man City Show podcast. And you can join me and Nigel tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, you would think on a week where there is no football, there won't be much to talk about. Well, not on the Man City Fan Show and not on Love Sport Radio, because the show is flying and we've been joined by a heavyweight guest list, only the best, the Champions League elite. We just heard from John Stapleton there, and now we go to another legend, this time Peter Barnes, former City player and England international. Peter, really good to get yourself on the show tonight as well. So much to talk about, certainly your career, but at the minute and the current climate, what is going on? No football due to the coronavirus. As a former player, how would you be spending this time off? Are you chomping at the bit to play, or, you know, welcome of a little bit of a rest break and recovery?
How are you?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. No, I think I'd be chomping a bit. I think most players like to play, and they train through the week, and it's a difficult situation. I've never seen this for years, have we? Mm-hmm. You know, cancelling the football because of the coronavirus. And I think sooner or later they've got to play it out. You know, hopefully it'll blow over. They've already had the Euros cancelled for the summer, you know, so we've just got to get on with it, because there's lots of games to play for yet, and teams have been relegated, teams are looking to come up from the Championship division, and just got to get on with it when it's fit to play.
Peter, I'm keen to talk to you a little bit about your footballing journey. We mentioned earlier on that your dad, Ken, of course, played for City before you.
Yeah.
John Stapleton described him as the best uncapped wing half the country's ever had, which is a big compliment. I chatted to my dad earlier on as well, who said also he's a great player as well, a very good sound wing half. These old boys call them wing halves, of course. What was it like as a young lad with your dad playing for City? What was that like?
Yeah, in fact, I've just gone to his gravestone today. It was his birthday today. So if he'd have been alive, he'd have been 91 today. And passed away 10 years ago. It didn't seem that long ago to me, but I miss him every day of the week. And I think he would have loved watching City team play at the moment. And the way Pep plays football, and you know, I just think it was, you know, when I came through, he was never. I've got two good brothers who are good at football as well, Keith and Michael. And unfortunately, well, Keith played for nearly every non-league team in the northwest of England, and Michael played for England schoolboys with Clive Allen and Andy Ritchie. But of course, Michael had his nervous problems, and it was a mild case of schizophrenia. But he's doing well. He's 60 this year, Michael. But you know, Dad never showed any nepotism, so, I mean, we had to get on with it. You know, he'd be the least one to say, oh, my son's a player, he can do well. I think we had to stand on our own two feet, and probably made you try harder, because I always have that thing. I think every famous father, whether it's Peter Schmeichel and his son, or Mike Summerby, Nicky Summerby, you know, Red Knapps, you know, you can go on and on. I think you've got to stand on. Sometimes it made you try harder, because people be saying, oh, you're only here because of your dad. You know, you have to prove people wrong, and I'm just glad I played in a different position to my old man, because they'd have been comparing me to him, and I believe he was a hell of a player. You know, in the 50s, he was like possibly a Paddy Crowned of the era, and in the 50s, he was a ball playing wing half that created things for the team. You know.
And you did play in a great side as well, of course, in the late 70s. Some great players in that team. And who were the? I know Gary Owen was a good mate of yours as well at the time. Who were your other pals in that team? Who were the other great players you played with at that time, Peter?
Yeah, well, I think we were lucky, you know, to catch the great late 60s team at City. You know, they were still playing in 74 when I came in the team. You know, Glenn Pardo, Joe Corrigan, Alan Oakes, Tommy Booth, Mike Doyle. The names just roll off your tongue. Mike Summerby, of course, Colin Bell was a great player. Still, it was my favourite player, Colin Bell. Francis Lim, they just got transferred, Franny, to Derby, and Mike had gone to Burnley. But, you know, we were very lucky to play the likes of Paul Power, Kenny Clements, Jed Keegan. We caught that era at the end of the 60s of great players who were coming through. Tony Book, of course, who was my captain. You know, these were solid pros who'd won everything, and you didn't need coaching them days. You learned off all the pros just training with them every day and playing. That's how you learn your trade.
You're talking about coaches. Malcolm Allison came in, of course. What was your thoughts when he kind of turned up one day? Because I think it wasn't long afterwards you were moved on, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, talking to the older players like Joe and Tommy Booth, you know, they know Malcolm probably was a futuristic coach at that time when Joe Mercer was the manager and they won everything in the late 60s. So I didn't know Mal then, because he'd gone when I was coming through as a young kid. But when he came back the second time, you know, under Tony Book, I think possibly someone has to take the blame. But it was amazing. He didn't need to. I think Malcolm's mistake was, you know, he didn't need to tweak anything, because if you win the League Cup in 76, we finished runners-up to Liverpool when we probably should have won the title in 77. Malcolm didn't need to change anything. And, you know, to come back and suddenly get rid of 6-7 internationals, you know, in the course of 3 or 4 months, I think was a big product. I think it put the club back 20 years.
I'm fascinated as well for players who play for both Manchester teams as well, and you're one of those, that elite band, of course. And as a sort of a City fan and someone whose father played for the club, to go across town and play for them, what was that like?
Well, you know, when every kid grew up in Manchester in the 60s and there was no cars in the streets, you played gatepost to gatepost, and your mates were United fans, or your brother might have been a United fan. He had pals who were City fans. So in those days, if you speak to all the older guys who watched that great 68 team of City and United that won everything in the late 60s, you know, it was normal to go to Old Trafford one week with your mates and Main Road the next with your grandfather, you know, your granddad who took me to my first game. But you watched the two best teams in the country at that time, City, United, winning everything. So, I mean, how could you not watch Bestlaw, Charlton, Bell, Lee Summerby, you know, that era, because they won everything. And of course, I was a big George Best fan, even though every team had great wingers in them days. You know, Eddie Gray, Jimmy Johnston. You know, you just go on, the list's endless. Every team had one or two wingers who could beat people and cross the ball. So, I mean, to go to United in 85, there's a contract because Ron Atkinson took me there, and he was my boss at West Brom when Gary and me went to West Brom. So to come back to United and play number 11, you know, to play outside left, even though I only played 20-odd games at the time, it was nice to play for United in a good United team that probably was nearly as good as the team I played in the 70s at Man City.
You talk of Bell, Lee and Summerby. We've got Silva, Aguero and De Bruyne now, of course. I mean, is playing today just a million miles away from the time you played for City? Or is it just unrecognisable, would you say?
I think the game's still the same. The pitch is still the same. The pitches are better, obviously. The balls are lighter. There's no tackling involved, I think. I would enjoy it today, along with probably Dennis Stewart and Gordon Hill and Steve Coppell, of course, who played for United. I think we would have loved it today, knowing that you've got good players around you. Defenders can't really tackle. So it favours people today with pace and skill, like Sarney and Sterling and Mahrez. And, you know, people who've got skill and pace, the game will favour them, because it's an entertaining value, it's an entertainment, and defenders can't tackle as well as they used to. And so, you know, you just, if someone touches you today, it's a yellow card or they get sent off. Whereas in my day, the old players will tell you could get kicked 6 or 7 times before somebody was booked.
Yeah, I've certainly seen the films and heard all the stories, Peter, and it is so true how different the game is now. I love hearing you talk about that. Peter, just quickly, for you, what do you think will happen? No one really knows, and it's sort of an ambiguous question, but do you think, you know, it should be made null and void, or they should conclude it? What do you think really the best kind of solution is as a former player?
I think they should conclude it. I think you've just got to be careful where we're going. Of course, it's a horrendous thing what's happening, but I think we want to try and get over it. You know, get the games in, maybe. Let's just see how it goes in May, June, you know, summer, because if they've cancelled the Euros and we can afford to play, we've got time to play these games, you know. And, you know, and if it gets so bad, then of course you can't play the games. But then conclude it, make Liverpool champions if they're already at the top, you know, and bring the teams up how it's left. Because it'd be a disaster to cancel it all and, you know, come back next season. I just think to hopefully try and play the games maybe in 5 or 6 weeks' time or something like that. Let's just see and hope for the best.
I've got two other questions, if I can, Gary. One is, I don't know if you remember the last 10 minutes of the first leg of against Standard Liège. Was that the best 10 minutes ever, when City, I think, scored three to make it 4-0? I think you had a hand in all three goals. I remember that so well. You must remember that game.
Yeah, I never got a kick from that an hour. And I was starved. As you know, in them days, if you were playing on the wing, you had to rely on good players to get you the ball. And if you're staying out wide, sometimes you can be picking your nose and get frustrated. But all of a sudden, my game came to life the last 20 minutes, and I got plenty of the ball on the right wing going towards the Platt Lane stand. I managed to get some good crosses.
And the other thing, of course, is you're currently writing a book with a friend of the show. We've had Gary James on the show talking about his work with City in the various books. It's just great news that we will have at last a nice record of your amazing career with City, with England, obviously Young Player of the Year. Just talk us through that process with Gary, would you please?
Yeah, he's a good lad, Gary. And I've thought about it for a couple of years, and I just thought, might as well do it now while my memory's in decent shape. I've just got an old leather suitcase down on the floor now. It's got about 400 programmes in it, so I'm going through all these old programmes. It's been in the attic about 15 years, but I mean, it's amazing. Gary's a good lad and a great journalist and a great book writer, and I think he's enjoying doing it. And let's hope it's a good book, and I can tell the story about growing up in this. In this great city in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be more than just a great book, Peter. I cannot wait to give it a read. Thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. I know how extremely busy you are. I look forward to you maybe coming on again and talking about going through those 400 programmes. Peter Barnes there, former City player and England international. What a delight and what an honour for us at Love Sport Radio to get him on and hear just what he has to say, not only of what's going on at the minute, but all of Peter's time in the 60s. Brilliant there. But we will be looking at what could potentially happen towards this Premier League season now, on the conclusion or not, me and Nigel.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Man City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with Nigel Rothband from the Man City Show podcast. What a show we have had tonight. John Stapleton, Peter Barnes, all joining us, and you can still join us. Maybe put a question to myself and Nigel. What are you making of this current break we find ourselves on? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, no managers, going over film, going over teams, scouting their next opponent. They have taken the stress out of their management, and you can take the stress out of your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. So visit the van page at churchill.com. Nigel, I want to talk a little bit about now what could happen next and maybe potentially where it goes. We've got a bit of a open field with this one because no one really knows. But when we finally do see City again, a game at the Etihad, it feels like forever since we've seen one of those. Could we be talking about maybe, potentially, a refreshed, a reinvigorated City, you know, because obviously the team at the minute suffering with injuries, you know, players not playing at their best domestically. Could we see them on better form?
Well, it's interesting. You make a really interesting point, Charlie, don't you? Because, of course, we know that Leroy Sané has been out. We heard that he was starting. He played, I think, a development game with the youngsters, a full 90 minutes, I think. He'd been training with the squad, and as Pep said, he's obviously not match fit, so that will allow us to get him fully fit. And of course, Laporte as well, who's been a massive miss this season, is the other one who will have him back fit. So KDB's had a few injuries as well, so potentially we'll have a situation when we do come back to have a fully fit squad. And it's clearly been, for the domestic league, has been a disappointing season. Liverpool have been awesome. They ground out results. They haven't necessarily played their best, but they've carried on winning. They've only lost the one, as we know. And they, if they go on to win it, they clearly deserve to win the title this season. So maybe it's an opportunity for City to, put a run of results together. The thing is, Charlie, of course, we're probably not going to finish outside the top four. We're certainly not going to finish first. So is there some complacency on the other side? Is there some complacency there? And we maybe saw that just before the break. But listen, who knows when this is going to be? And it's very, very difficult to tell. But certainly, Sane, Laporte being back and fully fit is going to be something that we're all looking forward to. We've not, of course, seen Sane since the community shield against Liverpool. So he's been out since the very first game of the season.
He's back. Massively, and maybe where you thought Sane, you might only see him for a couple of games at the end of the season. Maybe now, if the season comes back, really making an impact and getting back into the team and being almost like a secret weapon for City. Well, we don't really know where the domestic season stands at the minute. It's all up in the air, Nigel, until at least Thursday, and when we'll get to know more information from that Premier League meeting. One thing that has been mooted, though, is maybe perhaps scrapping the European games altogether, the Europa League and Champions League. Another suggestion is play all the knockout stages in a week, get the games over and done with in the same city. How rotten luck would it be? Finally, you know, maybe typical UEFA, when City are and do have a lead over Real Madrid after leg one, they've put all their eggs in that European basket this year, and this European season may not even come to a conclusion. Could we even imagine such a scenario?
I suppose it's one of the potential options. I'd be surprised, Charlie, I think, if we'd sort of used the logic from the Premier League, people saying you can't make it null and void, people arguing with the Karen Brady and Nigel Rothband option, saying that can't happen, then presumably the same can't happen with the European tournaments as well. And maybe there has to be some sort of compromise. And yes, I read today about Istanbul sort of having kind of a very short tournaments with lots of games one after another to get them all done and dusted. It's an option, yeah. It's one way of getting it done. I can't imagine them pulling the plug on the Champions League. I think they will try and find a way of concluding that competition as well. But who knows?
Yeah, and Darren Fletcher spoke on BBC Five Live saying that UEFA won't want to play second fiddle to obviously the domestic leagues finishing. Europe is a priority for them. He said this will only help UEFA help form and break away that European Super League with those top elite teams. What do you make of this? Because this discussion really has never really completely died and, you know, been dead in the water and faded away. What do you make of a European Super League?
Well, it's been muted, hasn't it, over the years. And I think probably at some point in the future, it's something that will probably happen. I think it's still a few years away yet. But I think, you know, you look at the sort of the old First Division, Second Division, then the Premier League, and to have the sort of top teams in Europe sort of playing each other week in, week out, I think is probably a natural progression. It's not something, as an English football fan, and being a bit of an old-fashioned English football fan, that I would want to see, I don't think. I think I prefer Stoke City, you know, on a cold Tuesday night. And that's something that I look forward to. So I'm not a big fan, but I suspect money will speak. And I think it's probably something where we may well see over the years.
Yeah, and just on that, Nigel, because it always does come back down to money, and John was speaking about this a little bit, is that why maybe at certain times fans do feel so frustrated and those frustrations boil over because they are always the last that feel they've made a contribution? No one really cares about the fans, whether it's, you know, rearranging a late game, they've got to book travel and get their tickets, or it's a cold start. Stoke City Tuesday night and they want to go to that game. The fans are always kind of the last to know in these decisions, and with these such important decisions looming for the Premier League, should more Premier League fans be consulted, Nigel?
I think they should. Well, certainly more consideration should be made, and you've made some very good points already, Charlie. You know, you look at some of the fixtures over the Christmas period, for example. You look at some of the times which are there just for TV, and that's all. There's no consideration for the fans travelling and getting back, no trains after the game. So I think there are a huge number of issues that need to be considered, and certainly fans' voices should be heard. And City are pretty good. They have a fans forum, so they do have fans and they have representatives covering all sorts of aspects of the supporter group. And they do get together with the club and they talk regularly about. But I think from a fixture timing point of view, I think there's a lot more that could be done to consider the fans, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot more could be done. And also, Wayne Rooney spoke about footballers feeling like guinea pigs and, you know, no one really cares about them if they were to still play games behind closed doors. What about their welfare, their families' care for them? It was the big one in his new article and column that he's doing. Is that a little bit true that maybe certain footballers, because they're still playing the games and who knows what other teams they've been in contact with, what did you make of those comments?
I haven't read all of it. I've got the paper and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So I think it was in the Sunday Times, wasn't it? So I did buy the paper and I've not had a chance to read it yet. I'm sort of building up the enthusiasm to do it for all the reasons you'll understand, Charlie. It's kind of a little bit against my religion.
Day by day, mate. Day by day.
If I lie down on the sofa and get some help, I might be able to sort of pull through and be able to do that tomorrow.
I'll read it to you like an audiobook. I'll do a paragraph a day.
That'd be awesome. Really kind, thank you. No, don't bother. No, I will read it. So I haven't seen it. It's difficult to, knowing the sort of wages that the top footballers earn and the lives that they lead, it is difficult to have too much sympathy, I think, for the lives that they lead. I think we all know that they travel in style, they are pampered, and they are cared for better than sort of, you know, any footballers at any time. We talked to Peter Barnes earlier on, and he was very sort of polite, if you like. But I suspect the way he was treated and the facilities he enjoyed is a million miles away from what football is today. Now, listen, they are amazing athletes, and it is now a worldwide brand, and it's just certainly the football that City have been playing over the last two or three years is absolutely fantastic. So I think it's difficult to have too much sympathy for them, I guess, would be my honesty. But I'll build up to reading the article. It's seeing his face looking out at the page at me. It's difficult. I'll try my best.
Well, we don't know, Nigel, what's going to happen next, so I won't throw that question your way. But for you personally, we're keeping these shows light. What are you doing on these weekends? How are you spending time? I hope it's quality time with the family, because we've got nothing else to do, Nigel.
We haven't. And I say, with no football, I spent time talking to my wife and she seems nice.
You've not done that in many years, have you?
No, exactly. No, listen, it's difficult because football is a big part of what we do. As you know, I'm a season card holder and I go to a number of away games as well. And okay, my life doesn't revolve around City, but certainly those games are in the diary and I try and get to as many as I can. And when there's no football in the winter on a Saturday, then it does change things. So it is a bit strange. And of course, there's the Real Madrid game that was in the diary, and that's now not happening. So you've got all these dates in the diary, no football. So yeah, listen, it's a great opportunity to do other things. I've got a wonderful family, spending time with them and friends. But I do miss the football, absolutely.
Yeah, we all do. We're certainly feeling that. But you said it was wonderful spending that time, Nigel. It's been wonderful spending this hour with you. It's always a pleasure, never a chore. Really appreciate you coming on. Nigel Rothband there from the Man City Show podcast, always delivering it to us how it is, pulling no punches. But you may think there hasn't been any football, but still massive news where Man City were concerned. And they want this season to resume. It's the European Cup thereafter. And who knows when that Premier League season will be back. Well, you were listening to me, Charlie Hawkins, Nigel Rothband, joined by John Stapleton and Peter Barnes. We will be back at the same time, 9 o'clock, next Monday on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.